straight out of the Devil in the Deep Blue Sea. You're listening to Radio Indie Media, San Francisco's Indie Bay Radio. And we're on the line with Larry Caffiero. He's one of the Green Party candidates for insurance commissioner here in California. Let's see. Tell us about your race, Larry. What's induced you to run for insurance commissioner?
Well, there were several issues involved in the insurance commissioner's race that I think would have not been addressed had not a Green Party candidate entered the race. And as a result, I entered the race as the Green Party candidate.
Okay. Let's see. So you're seeing initially that the Repugnocrats are not covering all the bases. In fact, it's well known that just the problems with health care in California alone we would have thought that 20 years ago when the HMOs were developed that there would have been some sensibility or coming from the insurance commissioner's office. To mandate that there be some protection for the people of the state. Are those some of the reasons that induced you?
Yeah, it's pretty clear that, both the Democrats and Republicans have been a rubber stamp for the insurance industry. To the point where a decade ago, the Republican, Charles Quackenbush, was pretty much in the pocket of the industry and as a result was found to be have done some illegal activities. So the person who followed him, which is John Garamendi, has done some good things, but has also excelled at sort of grandstanding. For example, he does the things he's supposed to do during the course of his work as a insurance commissioner, usually around election time, and we see that even this year when he's running for a lieutenant governor. Some of the issues that I wanted to actually bring up were, you mentioned health care earlier. The Senate has a bill called Senate Bill 840, which is the single-payer health care issue, and that's something that the Green Party has always been sort of advocating for years, and that looks like it may pass in the legislature. Now, I think a insurance commissioner who's unencumbered by
campaign contributions and
from the corporate side is would be the best person to enact that, and that, of course that would be me because the Greens take no campaign contributions from corporations. We just take them from people.
Unbought and unbossed.
Well,
tell us, so again, we're speaking with Larry Caffiero. He's the Green Party candidate for the insurance commissioner for California, and he's unopposed this year, so the primary in June really doesn't make a difference for him. And so he's on to November, and the race essentially is wide open for the Greens. Now, as you were describing the current situation for the insurance commissioner, we do as citizens in California have this problem where corporations come in and they have a business license. Ostensibly, they're granted a business license to just go out there and snag as many customers as they can get. Now, if California was intelligent about it, they would make sure that there were not a whole bunch of hucksters and con artists in the insurance business, simply taking monthly premiums, and then when it comes time to pay out, they've scooted and taken the money out of the state, so it then would become a difficult task to not only get payouts to the customers, but it would also be a tough task to get it back from across state lines or international lines. So, do you have any training in that? Are you experienced in either of those aspects?
Well, actually, I'm a newspaper editor by profession, which would have to mean that the answer to your question would be no. However, the state, in its wisdom, when it made this office, said that nobody from the insurance industry could be the insurance commissioner, which I think is actually kind of a good idea because it takes the and takes the onus of, you know, being an insurance, you know, again, a rubber stamp away from the office, in theory, of course.
Sure.
But I think my experience as a newspaper editor over the last 30 years has, you know, exposed me to enough state politics to know what's, you know, well, essentially right and wrong. And about the industry itself, just recently I had on my site that the insurance industry in California alone, it was $90 billion. That's what it is. I had to correct that recently because somebody brought it to my attention that it's actually $120 billion, with a B, dollars a year. And, you know, I was talking with Mehul Tucker, who is the Green Party candidate for treasurer, and we found out that both of us had the same insurance carrier, which was Health Net. And he brought up to me that Health Net doesn't pay any state taxes, nor do any of the larger insurance companies. So you have a $120 billion industry where the larger companies and probably the smaller companies too, all of which are exempt from antitrust, probably not paying taxes. So that's something that has to change, obviously, because there's a huge windfall there of taxes that aren't being collected.
Well, that gets into another aspect of this. Is there any mandate that they reinvest that money in the state, or can they just reinvest that money anywhere in the nation or world, and then premiums or paybacks, payouts, be then transferred back across state lines or international lines?
Well, there is a program called the I believe it's called the California Organizational Investment Network, or COIN is the acronym. And this network is responsible for at the moment what it mostly does is provide funding for low income housing. What it can do and what it could be mandated to do, and it's in the actual text of the program itself, is to also expand economic development in these areas, and that's something that they can do. But as far as, you know, as far as being taxed goes, they're not. This COIN program does build, you know, housing, and that's good, and that should be expanded, actually, I think. And I think a green insurance commissioner would actually, you know, explore that and try and do that, since that's the COIN program is run by the Department of Insurance.
So, is, for example, with COIN, is there a percentage that they have to reinvest in the state, or is it just up to kind of a random desire of each company?
It's pretty much a random program where they give what they think is fair. Obviously, what you think is fair and what I think is fair and what the insurance companies think is fair is probably a pretty broad broad difference.
That's right.
But, you know, I think that the insurance commissioner can actually enforce them to pay more. And I would certainly be inclined to do that.
Well, now, there are dozens of different ways of looking at insurance in any state, much less California. For example, employees injured on the job because of either pollution or workplace injuries, to some degrees they're covered by workers' comp,
right,
which never really covers. It's sort of a protection for the employer to not have to cover the full costs of production. So if they end up injuring the employees, they will pay a percentage of their problems, but then they'll essentially go on supplemental security and whatnot, and the taxpayer will have to pay for the health and maintenance of those people for the rest of their lives. But the different types of pollution that are not worker attached to the worker, but in fact would go into neighbors or, you know, if pollution goes into a river, does it destroy the fishing industry? Does it destroy, you know, different aspects of the economy downstream? Maybe it gets into the water that goes into agriculture or different other types of uses. So is there a way that the California Insurance Commissioner can control pollution through mandating insurance policies that cover the true costs of production?
Well, I think that the part of the Insurance Commissioner's job, and it's something that Garamendi rears its head only during election years, isn't the enforcement of insurance laws. And some of those insurance laws entail, pollution cleanup and things along those lines. You did mention, though, about workers' compensation, and that's something that is sort of in the forefront of my campaign. The fact of the matter is that in 1994, the legislature and Arnold, probably both in their honeymoon period after Arnold was elected.
Well, you said 1994. You mean 2004?
I'm sorry, 2004. Forgive me, I'm being a decade behind. It was 2004. I'm sorry. The Democratic legislature and the governor actually passed a workers' compensation quote reform unquote, which ended up taking away up to 70, or I'm sorry, an average of 70%. Of benefits from workers who were injured on the job. And now that's an average of 70, so it would range from 100 to down to maybe 40% of benefits. And this is completely unacceptable, and this reform definitely has to be changed.
Yeah, well, it's a welfare program for corporations. So various corporations, historically, it's my understanding that from 1776 until varying times, some would say the 1880s, some would say the 1980s, you couldn't take money across state lines very easily. It became a interstate banking was essentially outlawed until the Reagan years. Many banks in 1776 and the early parts of this country were only allowed to do business in a given county or something like that. They couldn't necessarily take money to the big cities of a given state even, much less just drag all the money back to New York or some other
major. Maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Cayman Islands or whatever, right. And so the idea of interstate banking got rapidly changed during the Reagan administration. It was kind of at the time of ATMs and electronic funds transfers and whatnot. And the idea that that the wealth of a state or a county or a region could be sucked out of town really quickly.
Right.
And so we've seen this rise of globalization really make huge changes all across the world. And, in fact, the immigration problem is directly related to this. All the money is sucked out of a county or a state, for example, in Mexico, is left high and dry through this kind of globalization. And with no cash around the state anymore, all of these people are forced to flee to various parts of the country or the world in order to get new cash to send back home.
Right.
And so what, for example, does the insurance commissioner have any ability to mandate that money stay in the state, or is that something you'd have to have some experience with causing the legislature to help mandate that?
That would definitely have to be something that the legislature would have to legislate. The treasurer probably would have more to do with that than the insurance commissioner. However, you know, my office, or the insurance commissioner's office, is not my office yet. I'm running actually under the impression that I will win, and if I don't in November, then I'll just keep doing what I'm doing. But in any case, under the insurance commissioner's office, there is no legislative power to make a law, but there are powers where we can do studies to enact legislation, if someone would bring it forward in the legislature. The same with the treasurer. And I'm sure Mehul Tucker, who was the treasurer candidate for the Green Party, who actually is involved in investment, he's an investment banker, is somebody who would be able to answer that a lot more effectively than me. I'm sorry.
So essentially the insurance commissioner has to specifically obey the laws as laid out by the California legislature.
But it's more of an enforcement. The Department of Insurance is more of an enforcement agency. Mm-hmm. And the Department of Insurance should actually be a consumer advocate, which is one of the things that I'm pressing in my campaign, is the fact that it was set up to be a consumer advocacy office. You know, the insurance companies and some of the corporations obviously have armies of attorneys and armies of lobbyists. And the people of California only have the Department of Insurance and the Insurance Commissioner to battle on their behalf. Unfortunately, that hasn't always played out well for the people of California. And this is something that needs a desperate change in Sacramento.
Yeah, as we you mentioned Quackenbush, he was quite a character. If I remember right, he was the Republican insurance commissioner. What, about 6 or 8 years ago, and he ended up hightailing it to Hawaii.
Hawaii, right? And the interesting thing was that he was considering coming back and running for insurance commissioner again. I think after everyone stopped laughing, I think he decided against. So
there's got to be, well, as you say, $120 billion a year. I mean, can you imagine the bribes that would come out of that?
To say the least, yeah.
Yeah, so it's an ugly prospect to imagine anybody with venal aspects. They've got the ability to ruin the lives of vast sections of the state, and we are one of the more prosperous states in the union. I think we are the most prosperous state in the union, and then as well we vary between the fifth and eighth largest economy in the world.
That's correct.
So, yeah, it's a very important state. And frankly, what happens here can have a huge impact on the rest of the nation. If we are able to force insurance companies to toe a line, many other states will get a little courage and get these crooked insurance companies in control, too. So, yeah, we can have a profound effect on stabilizing the economy. And looking at the way Bush is ruining America's economy, if we can mandate that money stays invested in California, or if corporations are playing fast and loose with their manufacturing or pollution or different other aspects of their development of their business skills, if we can force the insurance companies to come down hard on their processes, we can then stabilize the economy for at least this half of the country, and perhaps spread east is a stabilizing factor for the nation and world's economies.
That's very true, and there's something coming out of Europe that's very interesting, and I'm in no way defending insurance companies here or promoting them or anything like that, but there are some insurance companies, specifically in Germany, that are realizing, you know, there is a connection between, you know, global warming and a lot of the disasters that are happening, and so they're working toward stopping global warming. Now it's not that overt or anything like that, and again, I'm not saying we should roll out the red carpet for these companies, but I do want to emphasize that there is at least a consciousness in some of the companies of that, you know, it works in their interest to have a clean environment because they don't have to pay out, you know, X amount of dollars and things like that. So you do have pockets of some good in the insurance industry, but on the whole, it's actually very, very corporate.
And sure. Well, it's funny, the neocons and the radical of the Republicans have constantly been touting this theme that the marketplace should be the final arbiter of all business cycles and that the government should succumb to the wills of business. And if the marketplace is supposed to be this aspect, then you would think that the insurance companies would be to some degrees, the fuse of that, that if the insurance companies were honest and if they looked honestly at the payouts of pollution, at the destruction of different types of industries, for example, if water pollution is going to kill the fishing industry or if water pollution is going to damage the agricultural sector, then it would be in the best interests of the insurance company to force the manufacturers to stop polluting. And that way they wouldn't have to pay for so many cancers, they wouldn't have to ruin different types of industries. And hypothetically, the insurance companies are supposed to be this fuse of the marketplace, but they don't seem to be acting in this way.
No, and for the most part, most of these companies are not acting in the best interests of society in general, needless to say. And also, there are times when I think, in my own opinion, that the invisible hand of Adam Smith needs to be slapped. But in any case, I think that with an insurance commissioner that is doing the job he's supposed to do, and that is to be a consumer advocate in Sacramento and, enforcing the insurance laws, suggesting to the legislature that through studies, and this is what the part of the insurance commissioner's office does, is they commission studies that, later on become legislation, and legislation, that passes hopefully will be more socially responsible. And that's another thing that I think I would bring to the, insurance commissioner's office is the fact that I think a lot of socially responsible legislation could be at least introduced, if not passed. Getting back to, if I could get back to the single-payer health care issue, again, I think that, if you have somebody like Cruz Bustamante, who looks like he's going to win the Democratic nomination, taking campaign contributions from the insurance industry, I don't think he's going to be the best person to enforce any laws around the passage of Senate Bill 840, which I think will pass for one. I hope it'll survive a veto by the governor, which I think it'll be vetoed, and I think it will get past any kind of legal maneuvers that the insurance company will try to throw up against it, and I'm sure they will. But you need somebody there that's not encumbered with the onus of campaign contributions from the insurance industry. Now, he gave back some of his contributions over the weekend. Well, he said he gave them back. I would believe that actually when I actually see the the data that says that he actually gave them, wrote the checks, and they were cashed. But again, this is one of the things that separates, I think, the Greens from the Democrats.
Well, there are lives at stake.
Exactly.
If, for example,
a workers' comp actually sort of hits close to home with me because I just had a colleague. Well, first of all, I was on the brink of going on disability for a repetitive stress thing, which worked itself out, thank God. But one of my coworkers was out for several months, and it was an incredible hardship. Now, in 2006, where in 2004 or before, it would have been less of a hardship, before the so-called reform. There were only three senators, and there were only, I think, three assembly people who voted against the reform. And Don Parada, the senator from Oakland, said in the Mercury News back in 2005 something to the effect that this year is not going to go, it's not going to finish without us fixing workers' comp reform. And 2005 ended, and workers' comp reform was not changed, and we still have the disaster that was passed in 2004. So
there are lives at stake, yeah.
And, exactly.
If you go
to a website like denialofcare.org that outlines, people's hardships, and there's tens and hundreds of them, you would see that this is a very tragic situation where, on one hand, they say, oh, yeah, well, oops, we made a mistake, but then they're not doing anything to fix it because, you know, it's an election year and it may not look good.
Do you know, there's a, it came to my understanding that, of course, there have been budget cuts for workers' comp and clinics and healthcare all across the state and for decades, really, since Ronald Reagan was governor in 1966. But under Pete Wilson, there were budget cuts for workers' comp, and they were firing various workers' comp physicians. And when Arnold came in, he fired the last workers' comp doctor in the state. This guy was supposed to oversee all of the cases for the whole state. You know, to do some sort of an oversight over the management of cases, to have 100 doctors in California would be too few.
Right.
But when we were down to one and Arnold fired the last one, that means that all of these cases are inevitably tangled up in a black hole that will never, ever, ever, ever get resolved. And it crosses my mind, in the last few months, there has been this very ugly pharmaceutical bill that Bush passed.
Right.
And it mandated that everybody, every senior citizen, get locked into a company type pharmaceutical rigmarole. And I mean, it crosses my mind that there have got to be thousands of senior citizens dying every week because their pharmaceuticals are getting screwed up by these severe complications and financial hardships and network of intrigue. And it crosses my mind that perhaps your post would have some way of subverting, well, whether or not it's the single payer, as we've just been discussing, maybe that can kind of subvert the pharmaceutical scam that Bush has put together, or would the California Insurance Commissioner have the ability to mandate or help resolve the pharmaceutical nightmare that Bush has put together?
Well, again, this is another issue that hits close to home because we had a neighbor who was threatened with having her pharmaceutical or her prescriptions cut off because of the new plan that Bush had. It made it unaffordable for her to buy medicine, and you know it is kind of a disaster. The insurance commissioner's office, you know, could intervene, you know, with the state program. I certainly would, it would remain to be seen whether, you know, if you ask that of Steve Poizner, the Republican, or, Cruz Bustamante, the Democrat, whether they would have the same answer. It's something that, that really sort of, affects too many people, and it is, you know, a life and death situation. A lot of people, you know, you need to realize that, you know, when they do go to the vote in the polls, you have to vote as if, you know, lives depend on it, whether it's your own life or, you know, other people. So, that's one of the things that I think, I'd like to hammer home through, you know, between here and November.
Well, we'll give you another shot in an interview closer to November, but yeah, we sure appreciate your time, Larry. So again, we've been talking with Larry Caffiero. He's the Green Party candidate for California's insurance commissioner. That'll be in the November election. Tell us if people want to get involved with your campaign. Do you have a website? Do you have a phone number?
I do, actually. It's votecaffiero.com. That's VOTECAFIERO. .com. You can reach me through the website, and we are looking for volunteers. We have a few now, and you know, with the insurance commissioner's race being probably the lowest of the down ticket races on the state constitutional slate, it's not like the most popular one. You know, people may want to work for Peter Camejo for governor. And that'd be great, but we certainly could use some help.
Well, that's right, and there are a lot of different sections of the country that are, you know, if you look at the Julia Roberts movie about the poor people that were living in the hazardous waste dump of PG&E.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah, I'll think of the name of it in a second. I mean, there are pockets.
Brockovich?
Aaron Brockovich, right. And, you know, that was an honest-to-God section of California that got hard hit by that. There are plenty of areas in the state that are hard hit by, it was over 10 years ago, there was the massive train derailment that killed so much of the American River in Northern California. And many of those people along that river have probably come down with all sorts of different strange maladies and cancers and skin, you know, skin problems and eaten poisoned fish. And you think of the poor people that live in San Diego and Los Angeles, the heavy smog down there that the insurance industry is not shutting down the pollution, and the poor taxpayers got to pay the brunt of all of the lung cancer that comes out of L.A. So yours is a very important race, and you would think that this would be a great investment for anybody who is unemployed at this point to put some effort into not only saving their own life, but saving the lives of the rest of the people of the state.
Well, that's true, David, and thanks. I appreciate your recognizing that.
Oh, no trouble. It's one big picture, and we're all in it.
That's right.
Hey, well, thanks again, Larry. Larry Caffiero, candidate for California's insurance commissioner in the Green Party.
Thank you, David.
All right, no trouble. And you are listening to Indie Bay Radio in San Francisco. Here, let's go back to a little more Thelonious Monk.